listening to SCR, Stratford Community Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is This Much I Know with Jackie King-Turner on Stratford Community Radio. I've just been watching and learning from Kev, who is on before me. Thank you for a great show. He does all sorts of technical stuff that just blows my mind. So that's maybe more learning points for me. As you know, my show's called This Much I Know, not How Much I Know, but The Wisdom of My Guests. And today, I'm delighted to welcome Nicola Minaj to the show. Hello, Nicola.
Hi there, Jackie.
Nicola is a motivational hypnotherapist, as I think you had a small briefing from Kev earlier on. She motivates and inspires individuals and teams to make changes quickly and easily. She can help you unlock the power of your unconscious mind. Ooh, how exciting is that? To allow you to change the things you want to change in your life. And on her website it says, if you have the desire to change, you can if you want to. All the answers lie within yourself. I can't wait. We will delve into that in more detail. I love all of this, and so I'm really looking forward to finding out more. And for those of you who listened last week, you will be very pleased to know that Sam is back this week to support my technical competence. And Nicola, please note the positive language there.
Indeed.
And if you have any questions, then send them in to me, info@myscr.co.uk, either about anything in particular, or if you have any issues you'd like to address with Nicola, or would actually just like to find out more about hypnotherapy, then send your questions in.
myscr.co.uk.
You're listening to Stratford Community Radio, This Much I Know, and I'm here today with Nicola Minaj, motivational hypnotherapist. And I hope you like that bit of Kylie, because what we're going to do is really demystify things. So it's not all look into my eyes, this hypnotherapy lark, is it? I mean, a lot of people's perception of hypnotism is of being maybe at a function and maybe of having had a bit to drink. And then a hypnotist gets on stage and tells people to do lots of embarrassing things when they're in a trance. And it's not like that, is it, in the professional world?
It's not at all, Jackie, no. Do you want me to explain a little bit about people's misconceptions?
Yeah, definitely.
And it's quite right, actually. People, perhaps, if you imagine, perhaps people that went to see Paul McKenna in the past when he was a showman, and maybe, you know, if you imagine 1,000 people or more at the London Palladium, so they're there, and there's going to be a huge percentage, a small percentage of people that want to be hypnotised. And actually, they're hypnotised before they even walk through the door. They want to be up there on the stage, acting like a chicken or doing all sorts of things that the hypnotist suggests. So there's a huge spectrum of people. If you imagine, I've got my arms out here from outstretched arms, and on the left, right to my fingertips.
I hope you're doing this at home, listeners. So put down your cutlery if you're eating.
Right at the end of the spectrum there, there's people that are highly hypnotisable. So at the slightest suggestion, they're away. They're very hypnotisable. And at the other end, my right hand with my fingers, there's people that really can't be hypnotised at all. And then in the middle, there's a huge chunk, and there's a large proportion of people that can be hypnotised to a lesser or a more degree, more sort of average, really. Shall I just carry on a bit?
Yes, please. Yes. Do. So I'm gripped here.
The very interesting thing is that we are in and out of hypnosis all the time. You know, I couldn't even tell you how many times a day, 40, 50 times a day. And it's what we call natural hypnosis. So you know those times, Jackie, when you're driving along and you suddenly think, and it's a very familiar road, and you think, oh, crikey, where am I? I wasn't aware that I was driving. And that's when we've slipped into natural hypnosis and our subconscious has just gone somewhere else. And we're not actually in danger. But the thing to bear in mind is that we've got no control of when we're going into natural hypnosis or how long we're there for. So it might be very similar if you're reading a book and you get to the end of the page and you think, I couldn't tell you what I've just read. You've slipped off somewhere else.
So it's different from, for example, being in a zone when in a sport, from a sports perspective.
Well, if a sports person has intended hypnosis, then that is different. But if when you're playing a game of tennis and you're what we call in the flow, that is natural hypnosis. And the key thing is that you've got no control how long you're going to be there or the depth. So my role is to get people into intended hypnosis. So I guide people into a very gentle journey, excuse me, and I know how deep they're going to be and how long they're going to be there for, to the ultimate benefit of that person.
So how on earth did you get into it in the first place?
Well, very interesting, actually. It's probably about 10 years ago that I first had hypnosis, and I must admit it was quite scary at the time. I went to see a therapist, had hit real, you know, rock bottom. So I was just about 40, the archetypal midlife crisis. Work wasn't going well at all, personal relationships not good either. And I went to see this therapist, and I was on antidepressants. I'd been off work with anxiety for 2 or 3 months. And within four or five sessions, I'd completely changed, came off the antidepressants and got back to work. So it was just, I just loved the fact that it was so quick and really gentle. And she taught me how to enter into hypnosis myself.
So when you say you changed, had you got back to, I'm going to use some jargon here, the resourceful state you were in before the trauma, or had you changed fundamentally?
Fundamentally changed. I came from a half empty, you know, the glass is half empty. Everything was poor me, bit of a victim, and my language was very negative. So she just pointed out, by using more positive, empowering language, and instead of seeing yourself as a victim, but seeing yourself that you are in control, you have responsibility for whatever's happening, it just, you know, it was fantastic, actually. So that really spurred me on.
And did you kind of have an agreement with her before she hypnotised you as to what the outcomes were likely to be?
Well, I think because we'd built up, the key thing was I really trusted her. You know, if we didn't have hypnosis as soon as I walked through the door. I got to really trust her. I liked her. I respected what she was telling me and, you know, what we were talking about in the therapy. So actually, I was really ready for it when the time came.
So I guess if anyone's listening out there thinking, maybe this would work for me, it's about finding the right person for you, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It's like anything, really. I mean, I always say to people, if you went to see a dentist for the first time, you wouldn't be going for deep root canal work immediately, would you?
Oh, let's hope if you're going to a dentist, you never have to go to root canal work.
So it's all about building rapport, getting to like that person. So if you pick up the phone and talk to them, if there's any doubt whatsoever, then I would say just listen to your intuition.
And if your intuition is heading you Nicola's way, how do people find out about you? Do you want to say what your website is?
Yes, okay. It's at www.nicolamenage.co.uk.
This is Stratford Community Radio.
Oh, I love that, John Lennon. That is probably my favourite track of his.
It is a bit of a classic, isn't it? Again, one of those well-worn LPs at home. And I think I chose music that actually still has stood the test of time. And when I hear it, it makes me feel quite emotional. And I think, you know, as a when I was probably about 14, 15, when the LP came out, and it touched me on a certain level. But when I hear it now, I think it's the message still really holds. But it's actually, isn't it fantastic? You know, it's all about imagine. And if we imagine what we want to be doing, where we want to be going, instead of focusing on what we don't want, I think the message in that song is fantastic. You know, it's all about where do you want to be. So instead of always focusing on what's gone wrong and I'm all and chuntering away, I now have completely changed my thinking, and just I feel that I'm in the moment. Or for example, you know, I envisage the kind of clients that I want to work with, where I want to work, how often I want to work, and that's exactly what I get. So the more we focus on what we want is what we get. So that's why I chose that piece of music.
And we have been speaking a bit while the tracks have been on about the link between music and the subconscious.
And because, as I said earlier, our subconscious is responsive to our creative and our emotional. So probably when, for those of you that are familiar with that piece of music, which I'm sure quite a lot of us are, I expect it takes you back. Did it take you back, Jackie?
It did. And you know what's really interesting about this track? That other people have brought it on as one of their favourites. Mm. And this is where I have to, I don't know whether I should say this, but I will, but please take it in the spirit which it's meant. A lot of people bring it in and they say, this just fills me with hope because it's an amazing track. And because of the looking forward, and it's a beautiful piece of music, and we miss him and we wonder what he would have been doing.
Yes.
And this is where I get very banal and say, well, to me, it's a wonderful piece of music. I remember where I was when I heard when he'd been shot, and it was always played at the last song at school discos. So it has this kind of, peer pressure as a teenager. Have I been successful at this particular party for me? Which is slightly, you know, because the whole context of what he was saying in the music was maybe a couple of feet above my head because of how old I was when it came out.
But you're actually responding to that piece of music
on different levels. Yes.
So there's the message that's going out, but actually it's you've gone back to where you were when he was shot, and also the school disco. Now for me, it takes me right back to my bedroom, which was like a chocolate brown. I can see the green sort of 70s bed cover and the curtains. I can also see where I was when John Lennon was shot, you know, and I took me back to my rented house. So it's all about connecting with the emotion. So music is very powerful. It brings up... it's quite a hypnotic tool, music.
All you need to do is watch the coverage of the big festivals on at the moment, and you can see thousands of people all in the same trance,
yes,
can't you?
Yes, absolutely. Music is fantastic. It brings everyone together, doesn't it?
Yeah, I love it. Well, that's why I'm doing this, really, I guess, because I've got a soundtrack to my life. Even though I'm predominantly visually driven, everything in my life has a soundtrack to it, which is fab. I guess yours does too.
It does, actually. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Yeah.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And in the... this is where we could ramble off on a little kind of, yes, are we being kinesthetic here or what, visually driven? When I was doing my NLP training, I was working in the corporate world, and I was an international sales manager for an American telecoms company in Redditch, not far away from here. And apart from my master practitioner, which was residential, when I was doing the earlier stages, one weekend in four, I'd go off and do my training. And every Monday, my poor, long-suffering team will go, OK, Jackie, what have you learnt this weekend? And I had three or four people that worked for me that were willing, I hasten to add, willing guinea pigs. And so we'd spend like something like an hour on a Monday morning, and they would practice with me what I'd learnt at the weekend.
Lovely.
Which was great, because, you know, it's a roughy-tufty macho old world, international sales.
Yes.
And I felt quite proud and kind of humbled, really, that they would trust themselves enough to do some quite detailed and emotional soul-searching type techniques. But I did wonder, when I saw on your website about the work you do with corporates, that everyone guards their sense of their position in the company and their political... position very, very strongly, and sometimes to show any kind of vulnerability or even to admit that you've got emotions is seen as a sign of weakness. So I'm fascinated to know how you spin this in the corporate world.
Well, again, it's working with the team and developing and building up that rapport and trust. And if it depends on how long I'm in there working with people for. So we might actually sometimes just focus on, well, what is the team... the team goal, and what strengths can we all bring together, and then we'll weave that into a vision, into quite a motivational target. Some people really don't buy into it at all, so I quite understand what you're saying, that it's lovely that when you went back, you know, after your training, there's certain people that are very fascinated, but some people just don't want to know. So it's again pitching at everybody's level as to where they want to be, really, and what feels easy and accessible to people.
And I always knew I'd made it when my boss said to me, you know, Jackie, everyone thinks you're this touchy-feely, warm, fuzzy, tall, fluffy person, and they don't actually know how tough you are.
Yeah.
And I thought, yes, I've made it.
Yeah,
I've
good.
Absolutely made it. This is how I would like to be perceived.
Mm.
And, you have to be tough in the corporate world, really.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily outwardly unpleasant, but you do have to have a fairly steely core, which is what's so good about all this stuff, because you can manifest everything in a way that is non-threatening to people and still achieve what you want.
Absolutely.
Your website also mentions self-hypnosis. So how does that work?
Oh, I'm passionate about self-hypnosis. Self-hypnosis is great. So it's basically, I run a course. It's a two-day course. And I teach people. I load up their program. So we put this lovely program in. And once the program's loaded, they just say three trigger words and they instantly go into a really, really deep trance. And the fantastic thing is you could be there for 5 minutes, you could be there for half an hour. And so I use it. I use self-hypnosis prior to a meeting. If I've arrived early, I might, in the car, just take myself into hypnosis. I say these three trigger words. And when you come back up, you're really alert, and I might have said some key words that, you know, I want to, how I want to feel and how I want to perform when I get to the meeting. Perhaps if I'm in a meeting, this goes back to my corporate days, and you think, oh, why am I here? You know, this is such a waste of time, and you know, I've lost it. So I'll excuse myself and go to the loo, and I'd have a quick 5 minute zap. Deep self-hypnosis for 5 minutes, come back and I've reframed my my concentration, and I'm much more alert, or I'm more tolerant. You can use it for all sorts of things. It's a very interesting technique.
How can you manage the time scale thing? Because to make sure that you go to the loo for a hypnosis break and then everyone's sent out a search party.
Yeah, because you can do it for 5 minutes, you see, and you just say to yourself, I set myself 3 minutes, 5 minutes. It doesn't matter. It's immaterial how long you're there for, because you still get the same result. So it's a bit like I recommend to corporates having a power zap during the middle of their day, because quite often people don't take lunch breaks anymore. But having a power zap, it means that actually you're not working harder. You're working steadily and more effectively, and you're working less time at the end of the day.
That does sound good. I mean, from personal experience, I've used particularly language patterns in awkward situations where I'm likely to be bearing the brunt of a fair amount of vitriol and things. That's another thing. I can't think why, but I used to get sent to the difficult meetings. Nothing to do with the fact that I'm nearly 6 foot tall and quite imposing looking. But no, my boss always said if there was something difficult, I'll send Jackie.
And how would you manage the language patterns? Explain to us a bit more about how you do.
Well, I had one where I was sent to our business partner in the Netherlands, and they perceived that we had taken a big deal from underneath their noses, effectively. And so I was nervous about it, because there was just me. And I used to love working with people from the Netherlands, because I think they have a great sense of humour, and their use of English is splendid.
Yes.
You know, often they are wittier in a foreign language than we can be in our own. But when they're riled, they are really not, well, we always used to say that, you know, they are completely fluent until they're cross with you, at which point they can't speak any English and become like little shopkeepers sort of thing. But that is, again, I've offended a huge chunk of Europe. But either way, I had planned, I think it was straight after one of the courses, and I'd used repetitive language patterns to kind of suggest to them about how they might respond to me. I also used the way I walked around the room, basically, and I thought, I'm actually not going to be bothered by the fact that, you know, they don't know me, well, some of them did, but very few of them knew me as a person. They just knew me as a job title.
Yes.
And therefore their vitriol wasn't against me personally, it was against who I represented.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the vitriol was based on a lack of knowledge. So once I'd actually managed to, I mean, I admit I did probably Milton Erickson them a little bit, because one of the other things with all of this is, it never be worried if you're speaking to an audience and they look like they're nodding off, because what it means is that they are in their zone and they are slightly hypnotized.
Yes.
And therefore very receptive to what you're going to tell them. And so I'd practiced this for days beforehand, and gradually I saw the kind of relax in their seats and look like they were zoning out after lunch, and I thought, this is good, I can do what I need to do now, and just kept positioning various phrases to get them chilled, and then did my presentation, which explained why we had actually taken the deal, and then did some more positioning language, and then it was, oh, all right then, Jackie. And then in the bar afterwards, a number of them came up to me and repeated back to me the phrases
Fantastic.
That I'd said to them.
Yeah.
And I stood there kind of thinking, oh,
you were awake.
This works, actually. You know, I believed in it, but
yes.
Sometimes you need the proof.
Absolutely. And I
think it really is working.
And it's like any time you use a new technique, well, you know, there's an element of not sure at the time, isn't there, until you get a result feedback.
And of course what happened after that was I kind of kept being sent on these awkward meetings, but that was the one that really keeps with me. So whenever I have a difficult situation to deal with now, I have to think, you know, I've faced a room full of very angry Dutchmen and lived. So, you know, again, if anyone is out there thinking, oh, this is maybe a bit new age for me, it's whatever you think about it, it's incredibly effective.
MySCR.co.uk.
It's 30 degrees C in the studio at the moment. Hurrah! We've hit that 30. There is at least a breeze, which is good. Or maybe it's 30 in rugby, I'm not sure. Oh no, it's gone down to 29. Anyway, we're wasting time. Bob Marley is the right thing to play as well when the weather is scorching. Why do you love that one?
I love this because it reminds me we'd finished our degree, we'd finished our finals, and we've got that wonderful period of not knowing what our results were. And I was at Manchester College, and it reminds me of, you know, fantastic, happy student, hot summer days. And it's just, as you say, you know, it's such an upbeat song and it just makes you feel good, really. So that's why I've chosen it.
That sounds excellent. As the last track on a scorchio day, I think that's an absolute belter. I cannot believe we've...
And it's gone very quickly.
Let's just remind people, because I'm sure this will have triggered thoughts in people. That will have triggered, yes. You will have triggered thoughts now.
Well, shall I just sum up?
Yes,
what I really want to convey to people is that hypnotherapy is a lovely, safe, easy, natural process, and it really helps you unlock, unblock what it is that's perhaps holding you back and moving you on in a really fantastic, empowering way. Kind of, in fact, you know, since I started this journey, I can only say life has got better and better.
Excellent. So remind us of your website so people can find you.
Okay, it's www.nicolamenage.co.uk.
And this is Jackie King-Turner. You've been listening to your radio station, Stratford Community Radio. Thank you to Sam for being the co-person with sport-free jokes. I do apologise for that. caused a chortle around the studio, whatever. And thank you for your technical presence here today.
Pleasure.
Much appreciated. And thank you to Nicola for telling us how we can be the best we can be via motivational hypnosis. Now, quick reminder for you, remember to look at the Facebook page for the latest information and photos, and also look at our website, www.thismuchiknow.org, for podcasts, because I'm sure you're going to want to listen to some more again. Next week, we'll be welcoming Jill Lum and Ashley James of the Old Mill and Chipson, my first celebrity chef. How cool is that? A real celebrity chef. Never actually met one before, so that's going to be really exciting. Look forward to speaking to you again next week. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
You're listening to SCR, Stratford Community Radio, online at myscr.co.uk.